Blog Talk Radio.
But man, I done been through it all. So I said, I want to tell my story. Because I never cried or nothing. That's what make them say, that's like my pain. That's basically what that is. That's my battle cry. Think about it. None of us are perfect. We live in an imperfect world, you know. Only God could judge me. That's how I look at it. The people that's sitting around pointing their fingers, imagine all the stuff they probably doing. Whether you police officers, doctors, lawyers, presidents, whatever, we got good and bad and everything. You know, we putting people on a pedestal that just a human like us, you know. I mean, they got more drugs in the rich neighborhoods than they got in the hood. A lot of their kids dying from overdose and things like that. Think about it. Black kids have to figure it out. We don't have rehabs to go to. You got to rehab yourself. But for us, you can't pull a plug on us and tell us it's over. Not me.
Peace, love, and light energy. Welcome to Her Story Homeschool Radio. I am your host, the Lucky Little Ladybug, and this is a special Virgo edition of Sunday School because today is my birthday. I want to thank everybody that's showing me the love and appreciation on today. I really love you guys so much. So thanks a million for thinking of me today. As usual, we are going to take a quick break and let everybody get settled and up in this piece. As always, we want to thank our sponsors over at hphfny.com and Savor the Flavor Catering. He's going to be so mad. In Pittsburgh, my twin Kid Sensation of Kid Ink Graphics is already up in the studio and ready to get into tonight's topic. So let's take a quick music break so we can get started. Thanks for being here, guys. We'll be right back.
No.
You gotta let that one play out. That is Erykah Badu, the mother, with Roy Ayers. That's Roy Ayers at the end of that joint, and it's called Clever. And I like that song because that kind of describes my attitude. So welcome back. It's my birthday. So today, instead of talking about Jesus or the Lord God, we're going to talk about something equally dangerous and just as easy as to get caught up in as religion. So today we're going to talk about cults. It's so crazy because I honestly had no idea what we was going to talk about today. I really didn't. I know I told y'all that we was going to talk about breaking up with Jesus, but I haven't not begun to work on the material for that. So that wasn't ready. And then I was talking to Twin last night, and some kind of way we started talking about cults and churches. And he was telling me about, you know, this church that he was involved in that he found out was like a cult. And that was so interesting to me because, like, that's something that I research as a part of my religious studies. I often find myself drifting off into that weird part of YouTube where you see all these different kind of cults and different social groups and religious groups that come together for different reasons. And that's what a cult is. So, you know, even though most cults define themselves by, you know, their religious or spiritual or philosophical beliefs, not every group that defines itself by these characteristics is a cult. But that's kind of the way you kind of know what you're dealing with. And throughout history, America has seen this fair share of cults, like, you know, the Jim Jones cult and the Waco, Texas cult and those Heaven's Gate people. Crazy. The Jim Jones people really made me sad, and I think that was because there was so many black people out there with him. It was a majority of black people out there. Now, if you're not familiar with Jim Jones, he was the man who he had this church called the People's Temple. And initially, you know, Jim seemed like the ideal white dude. You know, he had a relatively large biracial family, including a little black boy that he adopted that he named Jim Jones Jr. Like, people loved him and his socialist messages that, you know, spoke about how the earth and its resources is supposed to be for the use of the people. That was like a message that went over really well with us because that was what we was also talking about back there, back times in the 70s back then. Nonetheless, you know, these people either sold or donated everything they had to this church. They left their families, their spouses, even their children who didn't want to come along and move to Guyana, South America, where they created this, you know, utopia, off-the-grid living type situation. Now, the land was beautiful, and they was growing their own food and sewing their own clothes and going to church all the time. And even though the people had left everything that they had, when the news came in to interview Jim Jones and his people, none of them, like hardly none of them, you know, seemed to be have the desire to want to leave. They were still happy. You know, they understand that their parents missed them and they missed their families or whatever, but they didn't want to go home. So after the news went in to investigate and, you know, they found, you know, basically nothing wrong, almost nothing. So then they said that Jones had started switching up. Now, what happened, in fact, was that one of the residents did express to a new staff member that they wanted to leave, but they were afraid to do so. So when a new staff confronted Jones about it, he pulled the dude up to the front of the church and told him that if he wanted to leave, he could leave. But the dude was so scared that he declined. He didn't want to leave. And then he was physically punished for, you know, what he said to the news. They beat his ass. Now, it seems like after that, Jones started getting paranoid that the government was interfering with his church and with his members and his relationship with his church, even to the point where he told the members that the government was going to send troops over to Guyana to their camp to kill them. Now, he played commentaries over the loudspeakers at the camp, so all of these people that were living there, all they heard all day, every day, was this rhetoric, this paranoid rhetoric of how, you know, of him speaking about how people were coming in to kill them, you know, because of their beliefs and because of the things that they had built over there in what he called Jonestown. Now, at the end of it, if you had never seen it before, it's on YouTube, and if you had never seen it before, like I had never seen it before, and you didn't really know what was going to happen, it kind of took you by surprise. Like, you kind of saw what it was coming up to, but I had no idea what this was about. So I didn't know that, you know, Jim Jones and drink the Kool-Aid, and I didn't know none of that. And he really convinced these people that it would be better if they poisoned themselves and committed suicide altogether than to let the government come in and, you know, shoot them with guns and shoot their children with guns and shit like that. And over 900 people were killed that day with some Kool-Aid laced with cyanide. And when you see these bodies piled on top of each other, like the children, the women, the old people, y'all know I cried because that was crazy. And it was sad to me because those black people followed him out there because they wanted to be free from the oppression in America. Jones used that oppression to convince them that a life in Jonestown would be the way for them to be free. And because he understood our struggle and sympathized with us and wanted to create a better situation for everybody that wanted to be a part of his church, of course. Now, I don't think he intended to kill those people when they first arrived. I'm going to, of course, bring my twin in. I got my twin, and, you know, I want to kick it with him on these situations. Now, like I said, I don't think that he intended to kill these people at first. Like, I think when they first got there that he really did want them to be able to live comfortably in this, like, you know, land or whatever. But I think, you know, he started taking drugs and, you know, he had all this power and he just went down real fast. And he took these people with him. Like, Twin, do you familiar with the Jim Jones and Jonestown and drink the Kool-Aid and shit? Hi, Twin. I'm sorry. Hi, Twin.
Hey, Twin. Happy birthday.
No, I'm not.
After this little experience I went through, child, all cults were banned from my life. So, no, I don't know nothing about it.
This was, like, back in the 70s, though. And it was crazy because you see all of these people, black people, like, regular black people that was just, I don't know, they really looked like they was, like, I don't know, zoned out. Like, they was on the TV, you know, we love Jim, and we not here against our will, and we here because we want to be, and we love Jim, and it just was, and then at the end, that was just crazy, because he started talking that shit about drink the Kool-Aid, and let's all die together, and blah, 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 and I'm like, all these black people is not about to do it, and they start walking up and getting these, oh, Twin, you know I cried, that was crazy.
I bet.
That was crazy to me. Because I kept hearing people talk about Jonestown, this, that, and other. I didn't know nothing about what it was about. You know, I ain't know nothing about that shit. And I'm sitting there watching it like, oh, my God. So that was a traumatic experience for me. And like I said, I don't think that he intended to kill these people at first. But it just, for him, became an impossible situation because I feel like he really did feel like the government was out to get him because he had tried to save all of these black people. And maybe the government was out to get him because he had tried to save all of these black people. I don't know. But it was just crazy. That was just crazy to me. And to see that those people really drank that Kool-Aid and they died like kids. They gave it to their kids, old people. It was that shit. It was too much. So we're going to take a real quick break, y'all. And because it's another cult that I want to talk about before we get into my twin situation. And I want to talk about this joint because I had a personal situation with these people. I can't stand these people. So stay tuned. It's a special Virgo edition of Sunday School. We're going to take us a real quick break, and we will be right back.
Bye.
That was the element, y'all. Earth, wind, and fire with a little taste of Brazilian rhyme. Welcome back, family. We are on the homeschool mic tonight talking about cults on this special Virgo Day edition of Sunday School. Y'all know usually we would get all into the Bible and I would break out my audio clips on y'all and my narration by Matt Gibson. Y'all know I don't play, but I ain't gonna mess with y'all too bad today. If you are just joining us, we was talking about the Jim Jones massacre and how over 900 people poisoned themselves to death at the advice of a cult leader they trusted to lead them. But we done talking about that. So if you just got here, you missed that part. Another more recent cult-like religious organization is the Church of Scientology. I call this the rich people's religion because Scientology is expensive as hell to practice, okay? On top of the fact that most successfully wealthy celebrities who do practice some form of organized belief will admit to being a part of Scientology, like Tom Cruise, Will and Jada, Dougie Fresh, lots of other European celebrities that I wasn't familiar with by name or face, sorry, but a lot of them do. Most recently, we've seen Leah Remini speak out against Scientology. She called it a cult, not me. She is a former member of the church, not me, so she should know. I'm just telling y'all what she said. Now, if you've ever seen the TV show King of Queens, then you will recognize Leah Remini as the wife. Anyhow, she broke away from the church and went on this media tour speaking out against the church, the church's practices. Now, for this reason and the way Tom Cruise showed his ass on Oprah that time when he was high, I don't know if Will and Jada still openly admit to belonging to the church, but if they no longer do, just know that they did for a long time. Now, if you want the details about how Scientology works, you can find Leah Remini's Emmy-nominated series about it on Netflix somewhere. But in Buffalo, we have a huge Scientology church that is now on the main street of our city. And these people, well, person, his name is Troy. And the reason I know that is because every Friday when I would walk down the street to the bank, I would see Troy standing in front of the church, and he would always approach me as if he hadn't just seen me last week and ask me the same question. He would say, "If you could change one thing about your life, what would it be?" Now, most of us would say something related to love, home, relationship, you know, God, whatever, kids, whatever. No matter what you say, and I've tried a lot of them out on Troy because I used to see him all the time, but no matter what it is, he would always spin it in a way that Scientology or commitment to Scientology would change your life in that area. Now, they deal with a science called Dianetics, and it's basically training you through reading and taking tests and stuff to become responsible for your own life, to be responsible for what happens to you and what you go through by using this science to explain the way life works. Now, these books they want you to buy cost $1 million a piece. I'm not bullshitting with y'all. These classes is like $100 each, and there's no telling how many you might need. Like, once these people get your contact information, they will call you every day and even stop by your house to see if you are still interested in buying these books to change your life with Scientology. Now, before they moved to where they are now, they had a paper, an ad in the paper for a secretary, and I applied. They called me for an interview. They called me for a second interview. They called me for a third interview. And each time I met with a different person and we talked about different things, and it was always about me. It was not about, you know, learning about the job or what the job was. It was about the church and what the church was. And after the third time, I realized that unless I decided to become a member of this church, I was not going to get this job. And I couldn't afford to be a member of the church, even if I did get the job. It's ridiculous. Now, everything costs. The books, the classes, consultations, everything costs. I mean, they really don't waste no time. As soon as they get you into a second sentence of conversation, that third sentence is telling you what book you need to buy and how it costs $1 million. Now, it's like they price like college textbooks, I'm telling you. Now, Scientology is about being responsible for yourself and understanding the way the situations and circumstances can affect our lives and teach us how to handle them in a way that is quote-unquote righteous or rewarding or whatever. I don't know. It's expensive as hell. And I've been telling you to take responsibility for your own life on this station for the past 6 weeks for free. Now, Leah says it costs $250,000 easy to become a Scientologist. That's $250,000 to become a Scientologist. Not a Scientologist scientist, just a member of the religion. Now, when I listen to her speak about her experience with the church, it sounds a lot like Jonestown, you know, with the South American homestead, except for, you know, they're all spread out. These people are not allowed to watch the news or question the religion or authority or the demands of authority. One of the sure ways that you could tell that a religious organization is a cult is if they tell you to cut off your friends and family members on the sole basis of them not either not wanting to join the cult themselves or not wanting you to be a part of it. So Scientologists are isolated unto themselves, and they're their own friends. And she said these people live below their means to meet financial requirements of becoming a member of the organization. And she also said that people, once you leave, people, they openly, you know, that part of their teaching is to use whatever is closest to you to try to destroy you. Like, if you're not going to be a member of Scientology, then you ain't shit. And we're going to do everything that we can to ruin your life. So, when I was doing this little bit of research on Scientology, I'm not even going to front, it really reminded me of religion in a sense. But, you know, I'm hoping that we'll get a chance to talk about that later. Now, Twin, I opened up your mic because we're going to take another quick break. But I opened up your mic because it was a Mary song that was in the studio already. And so I'm going to play it. I don't know which one it is, but it's Mary.
I think
Mary.
That's Love No Limit, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, so hopefully this is Love No Limit. We may not play the whole thing. I'm just seeing if I can get some audio together for you guys. No, I'm not promising because my phone is dying and I can't locate it right now on my phone. But I want to take a quick break to see if I can locate it and try to get this audio for you. So hopefully, maybe, possibly, this is Mary. We're going to take a quick break and we will be right back, guys.
Loving you, say loving you is all that I want to do.
All right, y'all. My bad if y'all was jamming like I was jamming, but they fronting on me. They're not going to let me get the audio. Welcome back. This is our Sunday school, our special Sunday school edition. It's my birthday, so I get to talk about what I want to talk about. And today we're talking about cults. And this last cult that we're going to talk about, I wanted to try to get some audio. I came across some really interesting audio of somebody speaking out about their experience with this particular church, and I wanted to share that with you guys. It was only like 3 or 4 minutes. That's why I was going to cut the music breaks short so that we could get a chance to listen to this audio, but they are fronting on me, and I can't get it. So this last religious organization is called the International Church of Christ, and it is based in Los Angeles, California, where my twin kid Sensation is from. Now, I thought this was some new shit, but apparently this church and its leader, Kip McKean, have been around for decades, a long time. Anyhow, like I said, I was talking to twin last night, and he was telling me about how he joined this church and his experiences there. And I just said, you know, twin, that sounds like some kind of cult. And he was looking up, like, the specifics on YouTube, and the first thing that pops up is this woman's video about her experience in this church, and she called it a cult. Now, like I said, Kid Sensation was born and raised in L.A., and he became involved in this church while he was in college. Now, I later found out that they have several churches on college campuses, especially in California. I watched the NBC or the ABC, whatever news coverage on it, and they went undercover to get the details, and I was literally shocked at these so-called church people. Like, the woman who was talking to them, her title was a disciple. She was questioning the undercover news associates about their finances, down to the penny, about their sex lives, just like really invasive and uncalled for. And so when my twin told me that he used to be a part of this church, I was so mad because, like, these people really are gutsy with the things that they ask you and the things that they require of you to do. So I guess my first question, Twin, is how long did you belong to this church?
Not even a year.
So less than a year. Now, did you feel like you joined because you wanted to, or did you feel like they pressured you to join, or?
It was more pressure. Like, once you give those people your number, it's a wrap. They're not going to stop until they set up a Bible study with you, get you baptized. So whatever was going to shut them up, by all means.
So you had one of these disciple people too?
Mm-hmm. Everybody has one.
Now, what exactly do they do? It's saying, I watched this, you know, the thing that I watched. It just seemed like you need to get permission from this person to live your life, basically. How do they even know all of the things that you're doing?
Because their focus is that you're supposed to confess your sins to one another, and that's where the discipleship comes from. The person that usually, like, if it's a boy and you're a boy and you baptize, like, if I baptized my bae, I would be my bae's discipler. And if my bae brought, my bae's job now as a baby Christian is to now go find someone else to bring in so we can study the Bible. And if we feel like my bae is strong enough to be a discipler, then he gets the title as discipler, and then I become the team leader for the whole group, which means I disciple everybody in this group, and then I have my own discipler who's usually the minister of the church. And no, you don't get to do nothing without their say-so. You don't get to miss church. You don't get to date. You don't get to do nothing. You do nothing without talking to this person.
So you, what if they say no? Like, what if you was to come to them and say, you know, I want to date Bae, and she, they, and the disciple was like, no.
Then you don't get to date Bae.
But what if you do it anyway?
Then they either, they find a way to break the situation up. Either you, well, one of the reasons they just, they use the Bible in a very weird way. And like, they'll talk to the other person and be like, well, you know, you should have talked to your disciple about it, and then throw Jesus in the mix. Or use a scripture of Jesus talking to his disciples, because that's where they got the concept from. Jesus and his 12 disciples. That's the true church, because Jesus had disciples, so we're supposed to have some too.
So if you can't pick out your own person that you want to date, they was hooking people up on dates?
You just, yeah, you got to go on dates. Like, you got to go on dates with all the chicks of the church, with all the people in your age range, which is, for me, it was the campus. Like, it was a whole bunch of college kids. And, like, even that got boring. And not just because I started struggling with my sexuality either, but because I wasn't going to be wasting my money on these broads.
Because, like, you still couldn't do nothing with them, right? Because they were church girls.
Right. You still couldn't do nothing with them, no way. So you.
So even if they did let y'all date each other, y'all wasn't boning because y'all was church people.
No. Right. Ain't no such a thing. And even then, after you start dating, once you get the okay to date, you have to get the okay to get engaged. You have to get the okay to get married. You have to get the okay to have children.
Why?
Because they feel like you don't want to rush into the foundation, or you don't want to mess up the foundation that Jesus has set for you.
I promise I wasn't going to laugh at the third one. So, I mean, I kind of get that, though. You know, you want to, I understand that you want to guide your members as much as possible to do things in a righteous way. But I think that disciple situation, that's a bit much. Now, you acting like you my mom. I'm grown. I turned 40 years old today. Hey, I'm not about to be asking no other grown person if I could date some other grown man. What? And we can't even do nothing but hold hands with each other? Come on. I know it's a lot of sneaking and freaking going on in the International Church of Christ.
There probably is a lot of speaking and freaking going on, because that's ridiculous. But it was a very, like, ever since you said something, like, my head went back to being that kid. And I was like, ooh, that was such an ugly time. Like, I really hated that whole period, because I was caught in the crossfire between coming out and knowing that that's wrong, and Jesus. And the two ended up meeting in a very ugly way, because I ended up getting baptized and I got my sister baptized, unfortunately. Sorry, sis. I didn't know we was doing some cold shit. But I got my sister baptized. She got baptized 30 days after me, actually. And the only reason why I wasn't her disciple is because I was a boy. And they felt like she had girly stuff she wanted to talk about. I was like, I already know half her shit anyway. She lives in my house. But whatever. So about six months into actually doing this, that's where things started getting real sketchy for me.
Okay. Like, because, what happened? What was one of the things that happened and you was just like, what the hell?
Oh, they didn't want me to be friends with my mom. And anybody who knows me knows, dead or alive, my mother is my heart. And you cannot make me not be friends with my mom because she don't want to join your bullshit-ass church. And that's where I started paying. That's when I started to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
Because you won't, what? You want me to move in with you? Why? Because we can all, you know, we're all, one should take care of another, or one, what is it? One, I forgot the little bullshit they used to say, but it's got something to do with one looking after another person. And once you started pulling me away from, once you started trying to pull me away from my mom, I had to start looking at stuff with some real eyes.
So you live with
my mom wasn't here for a minute, for a little minute, for like 2 months. And even that was weird.
Yeah, I was about to say.
They don't do normal people shit. Like, I know church folks, and I know real church folks, and even real church folks do normal people stuff. Like, you couldn't listen to music that had cursing in it because it's going to bring down the morale of the house and mess with everybody's purity. Child, let me tell you, never again. But it was a real interesting time. I had just had surgery on my legs, and I was going to move back home for the time period until I healed up enough to go to church. Twain, strike two. You're not going to let me go home to my mom because I want to be up under someone who knows what to do in this situation?
What do you mean not going to let you? What did they say?
They told me that it's ungodly to miss church, and we'll give you a couple of days to heal because you just had surgery. But after that, you're required to go to church. I've never been nowhere in cast, never, period. I don't go nowhere in cast because that's my unfavorite time of my life. So I usually just sit in the house and chill. Nope, not having it. They drugged me to church, twin, twice.
What?
And I had just had surgery, like literally a week ago, I had just had surgery and I had crutches and I was on my crutches at church in pain. Strike two. Like, it got really bad to the point where my sister got highly offended. And she ended up saying something to her discipler because I wanted to go home. I was like, I want to go home to my mom. And my sister was like, hey, he needs to go home. You're not looking too good. And they were like, well, how would you feel about how Jesus is a healer? And she was like, Jesus is not finna heal my brother. This boy that had this stuff all his damn life. Now, he needs to go home and be with his mommy because my mother knows what to do. You guys don't.
Mm-hmm.
And that was strike two. Strike three came after I actually healed and got my cast taken off my feet and the little choir man tried to fill on me. Strike three, gotta go. And then they kicked me out their house, actually. I'm not going to even lie to you. They kicked me out their house. And maybe we'll back
home with
my mom.
Why? Because you said something?
Mm-hmm. I told my mom immediately after it happened. I had just came home from being a little slut buggy because I was at the park kissing on some boy. But I had came home because we had church tonight and I needed to get my head in the Jesus moment.
Mm-hmm.
And the man who lived at the house, he's like older. He's like, he was like maybe like 40. Mind you, I'm like 20 something at the time, early 20, mm-hmm. like maybe 22, 23.
Mm-hmm.
He's sitting at home in his little dun-dun-duns and thought he'd be doing something. Well, do I need to put on clothes? I don't want to make you struggle. That's what they call it when you do impure things or things that are going to, you feel like are going to make someone sin. I'm like, you're not going to make me struggle. Because in my head, I was like, I don't even like white boys. So carry on. So the white boy comes in my room and wants to talk and sit next to me and put his hand on my knee. And then he proceeded to kiss me. And that's where I threw up in the back of my mouth several times over, packed me in my backpack, and went to my mother's house. I went home. I was like, Mom, me and you need to talk. And she asked me what happened. And I told her what happened. And my mom, being a black mother, decided she wanted to go to the church and cause a scene. So that was the end of that. I didn't live there. They kicked me out of the house. And from that point on, I just drifted away from the whole situation. Because it was really bad. Like, y'all wanted to control my finances and who I can date and who I can be friends with. And if they saw me walking on campus with anybody that wasn't from their little clique, it was an issue. Like, I couldn't deal with it no more. Like, I just really could not deal with it to the point where I saw one of them recently, not too long before I moved out of California. I bullshit you not, twin. My mouth did not move. I did not open. I did not say hi. I pretended like I did not. Don't speak to me. Y'all had me catching the bus. Y'all so godly and wonderful. Y'all had me catching the bus on crutches in the cast to go get to the doctor, go to my doctor's appointment to make sure I was okay. Because nobody wanted to take off work. Would Jesus have done that? No. So it was, yeah. That, if y'all know somebody associated with that, don't be bothered. Just tell your kids, tell your family, tell whoever. Just don't do it. But everybody's doing it in the name of the Lord. Bunch of men.
We got a few minutes. And I said that if we still have time, that I wanted to talk a little bit about the similarities between cults and regular religion. I really, to be honest with you, we didn't get too deep into, you know, the practices of certain cults or whatever, because I'm not trying to encourage you to join no cult. If you interested in doing that shit, you're going to have to research on your own time. But a lot of the requirements of these cults are the same things that's required of us in religion. You know, you got to pay a certain amount of tithes every week. And, you know, despite the condition of your finances, it don't make a difference if you broke. If you got a dollar, you should be putting a dime into the collection plate. That's exactly how they feel. 10%. So, in that aspect, the financial demands on people's finances and just the time and the effort. People who go to church, they're in church all the time. All the time. 4 or 5 times a week they at the church in order to keep themselves pumped up with the religion type energy to be able to keep their mind stayed on this religion. You have to be there constantly in that energy, in that presence, creating that kind of frequency so that you can be in that moment where you feel that, you know, you're experiencing Jesus, when in actuality you might not necessarily be experiencing Jesus. But that's not what today's show is about. But Christianity straight up tells you that you have to give your life to Christ. Give your life to Christ. Ain't that what these people in these cults is doing, giving their lives and lifestyles over to, you know, these ideals and perceptions and people and churches and concepts and shit? Like, it's not a whole lot of difference. Like, when you leave the cult, you get cut off. They shun you, they cut you off, they don't mess with you. That's the same thing that happened to you when you leave the church. The church don't talk to you, they'll call and check on you. But if you tell them people anything other than, I don't know, I'm just going through a rough time right now, I'll be back to church. If you don't tell those people that you're coming back to church, if you tell them that you're not coming back to church, they're going to write your ass off. They're not going to check on you no more. They're not going to care nothing about what's going on in your life. And then anybody that asks about you, they're going to tell them that you backslid and you living in the world, or different phrases that church people use to describe people who have decided not to live according to the righteousness of the Bible. Whatever. I'm not getting into that today. But you see it all the time, like where people don't get funerals, like the churches refuse to funeralize people because they was behind in their tithes, or they wasn't a tithing member, or that shit really happens. It really happens. It happened in our family. It happened with my mom. Because my mom was not a tithe-paying member of this particular church, they refused to funeralize my mom at a church that we had a strong relationship with. And we ended up having to have my mom eulogized at another church. Luckily, my sister was a member of another church. And upon hearing what this other church had did to my mom while she, you know, sitting waiting at the funeral home, he said, okay, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it free of charge. That's horrible what you went through. So when I'm talking about church, I'm not talking about all churches, but because we was very grateful. And I still, you know, have a great deal of respect for that church, that particular church. I had a good experience there. And I learned a lot there. In fact, my experience there at that church is what brings me to my experience here today, because we were able to question. We were able to ask, like, this doesn't make any sense to me. This doesn't make any sense to me. And, you know, at that time, the pastor would do his best to explain as best he could, and he would tell you the truth. And, you know, that was one of the people that I asked about slavery in the Bible. And he said, yeah, there is slavery in the Bible. And, yeah, it is the kind of slavery that you think it is. And, yeah, those are black people that they're talking about. So, you know, I have a great deal of respect for certain churches. But, I mean, Twin, you tell me, do it not sound the same like churches and cults? Like, the only difference, I think, between churches and cults is that instead of worshiping these outside ideologies and, you know, principles or whatever, these people using that to worship God. Like, all cults is not religious cults like the ones we talked about today, but they use God. You know, you're going to displease God. God is going to be, he's going to be upset with you. He's going to not be pleased with you. You're not going to be blessed. You're going to be, they just use all kind of like tricks and manipulation type shit at church to manipulate you. And then it's no different than
And then if you didn't take the girl out on a date, you was not being encouraging. Like, let me stop that church. Lord have mercy. If I ever find that man, I'm punching him in his face.
Any church that wants to have that much control over your personal life, like, I'm always give you the principles and give you the opportunity to fulfill those principles because you want to have a closer relationship with God. Not because I'm standing over you telling you, oh, nope, you're not doing, you're falling away, you're backsliding, you're slipping, you're struggling. Come on, dude. Who want to be beat over the head with religion 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? I would have not lasted 30 seconds in that church because I'm not telling them people none of my personal business. That's none of your damn business. I'm sorry, how much money I have is none of your damn business. Who I'm sleeping with is none of your business. Well, I'm going to date who I feel like dating. I would have been a problem at that church.
Yeah, I bet.
Even when I was a Christian, that was my problem. You know, I want to be able to do what I want to do. Don't tell me. How you going to tell me God going to be mad at me for going out and having drinks? I don't go out and have drinks all the time. They drink all they drink in the Bible was wine. I ain't never heard of these niggas having a drink of water, but let you have a glass of wine, and now you're an alcoholic. It's just ridiculous, man. We did 900 people. This nigga killed 900 people. At one time. Now, maybe it's not the same in that sense, but how many people are born, they live, they die, all waiting for Jesus? How many people? More than 900. So it's the same to me.
And then the founder of the church, the Kip McKean guy, like after all his kids got of age, they all stopped fucking with him. Like they left the church, they went and did their own thing. Like they don't even be bothered with their father because of the malarkey and bullshit he run around putting all the people in California through.
That is ridiculous, though. Like, who want to live like that? If that's the way God want me to be in order for him to be pleased with me, then I don't care. Be as upset and disappointed as you choose to be. But I'm not going to let nobody run my life. That's ridiculous, twin. People who stay in those situations are mentally weak. If you need somebody to tell you what to do, who to date, how to spend your money, what places to work at, when you can get married, when you can have kids. If you need somebody to be able to tell you all of those things and you a grown-ass person, then you weak in the mind. And you deserve that miserable-ass life that you're living. I don't feel sorry for you. Got yourself caught up in the damn cult and you can't get out. These people on that documentary was crying and shit. Like, they miss it. And they were really for a while. It was great, you know. I had friends, and
I don't miss it. Like the friendships are real stupid because I'm not saying that just because you got church friends don't mean you can't talk about other stuff. But the friendships were really, really stupid. Like, everybody was your friend for a certain reason. Like, oh, well, you guys ride to church with me, so you're my friends. No, because guess who got in the car every Sunday and didn't want to speak to nobody? Me. Because y'all not about to have me here all day. I got other stuff I want to do. I got a mama I want to get home to. I got a nigga I need to go see. Like, hello, when can we end this? And it was a never-ending thing. Like, you went to church on Sunday, and then you usually had D time, which was discipleship, sometime during the week. And then Wednesday was Bible study, where you gave your tithes. And then Friday was the little hangout night. And then Saturday was date night. And Sunday was church. When do I get away from you,
Holly? What? That's just like regular church, though. You got Monday night, you got Bible class or prayer meeting. Then Tuesday, you got some kind of auxiliary meeting. The ushers is meeting. The choir is meeting. On Wednesday, it's prayer meeting, the Bible class. It's always something. Thursday is choir rehearsal. Friday is revival night. Saturday afternoon, we're going to be barbecuing down at the church. We're going to have dinners. Then on Sunday, you there all day. Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, Sunday night. Don't even go home. We're going to have dinner in the fellowship hall. Just come on downstairs, get you something to eat, take you a little nap. Come on back up here and praise the Lord. It's a requirement. And I'm not saying that spirituality is not a requirement, because it is. But it's more a requirement of what's natural to you. Nobody is sitting over your shoulder telling you have to do it this way, you have to do it that way. That's wrong. That's not going to work. You find those things out on your own because you do what comes naturally to you through spirituality. Not because somebody is a disciple and bending over you, telling you when you should be able to be mature enough to get married. Please.
But the thing about it, twin, is like after I left there, I never went to church again. I recently just started going back to church, and that was like maybe like 2-3 years ago. And that's only because my mother-in-law, my bae. Love their little pastor. So I like their pastor too. He's dope. Like, I'm not going to take nothing from him. He not all in your face. He don't be all in your business. But I was real leery to even go to church with him. Real leery to go to church. I was like, if they come in here and start talking this weird shit, like, I'm going to scream. I swear.
It was harder for me to leave my church than it was anything else, because I was friends with these people. You know, I'm not a little kid. I'm grown. These people done known me my whole life. And, you know, I've been going to church my whole life right here in the city. I done been to every church in this city. So people all always, you went to here and I remember you. And so that, for me, that was the biggest part. And I just kind of like faded away. And then after a while, they just stopped asking. And I was just, hey, Tish, how you doing? It ain't no, hey, Tish, how you doing? When you coming back to church? I ain't seen you in church in a while. After, you know, it's been years, but it took a couple of years. But now it's just, hey, Tish, how you doing? And they realize that I'm not a different person. In fact, I'm a more nicer. I'm a much more pleasant person to be around. I was stressed out. I was the most stressed out Christian ever. Because I never felt like I was doing the right things. God is not pleased with me. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. And you got people living like that. That's enough to make you want to walk off a bridge. Like, please, give yourself a break, people in these cults. You got to be crazy. Your parents miss you. Your family members, they miss you. And you over there with these people talking about you don't need nobody. Don't do that. Don't be like that. If someone's going to take you away from people that you know authentically and genuinely love you, then you need to consider that. That might not be the best place for you to be. But we're going to try to get in here with you guys. What's today? Sunday. We'll try to get in here with you tomorrow for Kids Corner with Kids Sensation. I'll be in the studio, definitely. I don't know what we're talking about. What are we talking about? Hurry up for the ladies, sir.
I don't know what we're going to talk about yet. Just come in and make sure you ready to hear something.
All right, we're going to be there, and we're going to be ready to gossip and talk shit about people. Like I said, thank you guys so much for the birthday love. I appreciate each and every one of you guys. We're going to go ahead and get out of here. Thanks for joining us, and we will see you again next time. Bye-bye, guys. Bye-bye, guys.
Science can answer everything except for the why of the why of the why of the why. Yet the debate still goes on day after day. No one has the answer here. That way, when there's earth, air, water.